Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Those commandments can be found at 670thescore.com. It's good advice, Dan McNeil.
Well, it's advice that I don't always follow myself, but I do my very best to stick to some rules, and because of that, I've earned more money the last few years.
We'll talk to Brent Musburger about the legalization of sports gambling in Vegas coming up. It's always been legal in Vegas, but from the Vegas perspective, coming up at 3. I don't believe the narrative that the passage of that law is a bad thing for Las Vegas, like many do.
I've been thinking about it since we got the ruling Monday, and I'm still not sure which way I go on that situation.
I think that some people will be less inclined to need, quote-unquote, need to go to Vegas, but the new people who will all of a sudden start sports gambling and enjoy it will now find a new reason to go to Las Vegas.
Yes, they've had their beak wetted. Now they're curious what Sin City is like on Sunday when all the games are on.
Exactly, because even when it becomes legal everywhere, you're still not going to be able to recreate the Vegas experience in Des Moines. You know what I mean? Like, just because it's
you don't think?
Yeah. So like, you'll get people who are like, oh wow, I really enjoy this. Let me go check it out.
Do you think a Nobu restaurant would go over well in Des Moines? Do you think Iowans would flock to eat really good sushi? I'm not so sure.
I mean, I'm not so sure either. Why not? Be a little tougher to get the good fish inland, I've always found. Why? Vegas restaurants are unbelievable.
They've gotten much better.
Yeah, it's a city that has everything. You should consider coming out of retirement.
Well, I was there just a few years ago. Two or three years ago. Got sick in Vegas. That's never fun to get sick in Vegas. And it wasn't the type of sickness I used to get in Vegas
either.
The Dawn Patrol here, I was with Sherry, so obviously I was behaving.
But yeah, no penicillin necessary.
Yeah.
Not Cubs.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, there you go. Last night in a loss for the Cubs, I chalk it up to, hey, it's baseball. It's going to happen. I did not find myself, you know, the internet melts down with every single Cubs game. I found that just you're going to lose 60 baseball games at a minimum every year. That's one of those 60.
Yeah, it's discouraging to see the bullpen not finish it and give them a better chance. Edwards was bad last night.
Has been very good.
Yeah.
And the bullpen overall, right, like the bullpen going into last night's game, they had the second best OPS against of any bullpen in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, bullpen's going to blow some games, right? Bullpen's going to have some bad days.
It's a good team they're playing. Very good team.
Yeah. I was blown away, like that catch by Almora, even though it's a positive in a game in which was a loss, is just, I don't know if he's a big enough name. Like sometimes the Gold Glove thing becomes a popularity contest, but he's certainly doing it for a high profile enough team and putting the highlights together that he's going to get his respect. And I'm wondering if when he keeps doing that, how close people are going to get to really being frustrated if he's ever not out there.
You said it right when you used the phrase popularity contest, because that's what it is. And despite his absence on that list we discussed with Dan and Connor in our transition, he's made a lot of highlight reel plays and people have seen them. He plays on one of the most high-profile teams in baseball, maybe the highest-profile team in all of Major League Baseball. And some of his magic comes on the weekends, too, when more people – that Colorado series was a Saturday-Sunday spectacle. So everybody's watching when he does those things. That catch last night, by the way, he made where he ripped the wall with his spikes.
Yeah.
Maybe not a catch he makes at Wrigley Field because there's nothing to dig your spikes into to help you get up.
Yeah, no, going. We have
crashing into a wall and get a concussion, and maybe sooner or later the Players Association says get rid of the brick.
You know, let's put that in the notes to talk to him about, like going back at the
it
wall.
It is in the notes. I got it right here and right here for Tuesday at 2.
Oh wow,
my head and heart.
The head and heart. So I'm a notes guy. I got notes in the phone. I short-term memory loss, man.
I write most of the stuff. Sometimes I forget it. That's why I blurt out things and take us off course, because I'll forget it if I don't write it down.
I thought it was the ADD. But either way, it worked. But he's just he's a remarkable player, and he's second right now in Fangraphs for center fielders if you lower the minimum to allow him to qualify. If you right now just go to Fangraphs for the defensive metrics and for center fielders, he's not on the list because he hasn't quite played enough innings. A.J. Pollock is first at 350 innings as a defensive-rated center fielder. Albert Almora is all the way down at 220 innings. And that's the ammunition that Cubs fans have to scream about to say, he's good enough to play him every day, play him every damn day. And
I'm leaning in that direction too. The more I watch him play and the more I think about the whole Cubs mantra of runs prevention and the things he can do offensively, I know he doesn't hit as well as you'd like to see him hit against. I get that.
Yeah.
I know that. But I think he should be playing every day.
It's a tough thing. I think he will eventually. And I think that they might be true. There's a report out there, and we'll talk about it as we go, about from John Heyman about the Cubs and their main target being Manny Machado. I am surprised that they already have a main target 10-plus weeks from the trade deadline when they don't really know what is or is not going to be a hole in their team. But I guess in theory, Manny Machado would be welcome on any team that's contending. But if and when Theo and Jed decide that they need to trade a couple of position players, it'll become easier to play a guy like Albert Almora every day. But as long as
Unless
you trade him.
And that, you know, and Cubs fans, if they go ahead and make that move for Machado, count on having your heart ripped out of your chest, because you're going to have to part with something you already like very much. And he's very popular among Cubs fans.
He is. It's funny you say that. I would think that with what Theo said to Dan and Connor about not mortgaging so much of the future for a rental, he might be more inclined to do it if he did not think the player would be a rental, right? Like, it's entirely possible that when he gets asked that question, he's being coy and he wouldn't look at trading for Manny Machado as a rental because he either believes or knows through some sort of back channel that he could sign him long term. And given what we know about Albert Almora and Manny Machado's relationship, I wouldn't think that Albert Almora would be included to Baltimore in a trade for Manny Machado if the goal is to sign Manny Machado.
Sure.
Because part of the attraction for Machado signing in Chicago would be to play with one of his best friends from childhood who he calls his cousin, Albert Almora.
Well, and not to mention in a very cool city, one of the coolest cities in Major League Baseball. So when are the Orioles in? When are the Orioles in this year? They've not played the White Sox on the South Side yet, have they?
No.
I think they're at the end of this homestand.
Okay, well, you gotta do something. Chicago has to do something to show Manny Machado how this city is going to open its arms and legs for him.
When is that, Tanny? When is that?
I think they've got three against the Rangers coming up, and then next week, so probably Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday versus the Orioles.
21 through 24th.
We could be the show.
Remember when the Bulls sent Benny the Bull to the airport to greet free agent Tracy McGrady?
T-Mac, of course. Tracy McGrady and Grant Hill.
Immediately get him back on the plane.
Yeah.
I don't really want a mascot. A mascot isn't what I had in mind.
No, but I mean, maybe we get tickets on the left side, like behind the Orioles dugout. We get a big sign. It says Chicago wants Machado.
So now you want to go to the South Side, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, suddenly he's
the first to get the axe off the boys' trip.
And we still haven't called
not
the guy.
Not recruiting Mike Trout quite yet here, Tanny, so hold your horses on that.
We haven't contacted the guy who won White Sox tickets with us, have we?
Well, he's really been trying to get a hold of us, too.
He's asked me a couple times, and I'm like, maybe we should figure out our ticket plan.
Give me
that.
His number when I leave here. I'll call him on the commute home. No,
he can help us recruit Manny Machado.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so yeah, you want to make that the game we go to?
It doesn't matter,
He can hold the sign. Do we want Chicago wants Machado and the Cubs logo? I mean, that would...
How many Cubs fans can we get to Sox Park during... We have to pick one of those four games. How many Cubs fans can we get there of, like, we want Machado something, something to that degree?
I mean, we could get a lot.
We have to learn what his vices are. What is Manny Machado, if anything, drawn to that might let him know just how welcomed he can be here? Is he a married man?
I believe so, but I. Is he
a faithfully married man?
I don't know.
Because
this will
surprise
either.
Our listeners. Some jocks who are married still have a good time on the road.
What?
Imagine that.
Breaking news. Can't get anything past you, Danny Mac. All right, well, we need to work
on a quick
on this.
Search. He seems to be big into bowling. Has a baseball event each year to help his charity in Baltimore.
Okay. There's bowling alleys in town.
Get Waveland north to have Bowl-O-Rama, and we'll be good to go.
Waveland Bowl still open?
I don't know.
You guys are city kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
yeah okay. I assume so.
Take him there.
Southport.
He likes to bowl.
All right. Well, I mean, we could also just – I like the idea of a futile and stupid gesture being done on someone's part, and we are just the guys to do it. Like,
I know.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
You're a guy wearing a sign last season. Yeah, I remember that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think the idea of if it was an over-the-top big sign like that spanned the length of an entire section right above the Orioles dugout at Sox Park, but it was for the Cubs wanting Machado, and it was a group of people wearing Cubs hats with that sign.
Yeah.
I think that would get the message. I think that that has a chance to go a little viral. Machado would be forced to comment on it, and it would wow him that, wow, Cubs fans are coming here to not their stadium to see me. I'm going to do it.
Something else that you could get to go viral, there are some female fans of the Boston Bruins who have had the tendency to get up close. When the Bruins are warming up, they'll get right up on the glass and lift their shirts up. And, yeah. Press the girls on the glass.
We'll have the I'm Fat podcast do that for us.
There we go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, Campy and Jay are available.
I saw Rick Camp standing up today, I think, for the first time. He's usually sitting.
That's really interesting.
He is a very thick mammal.
Yeah, why he's the host?
Well, I didn't know he was as you know, big everywhere as he is.
That's kind of the point.
Breaking news on the score. Yeah, he's
okay. I've only been here for a few weeks.
So you've never seen him standing.
That's basically what I said.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, I'm just saying it's.
Campy takes a rascal all around the studio.
He's the host of the I'm Fat podcast. He's a big boy. It's an appropriately named podcast. Texters are volunteering to come with us, so I'm in. Even if you're not going, this is what will get me to Sox Park. I went like 5 or 6 times last year. Great.
You'll go to Sox Park. I wouldn't assume you go much more south than that ever. Have you ever been south of 35th Street? And don't say 37th because you parked in the C lot behind the ballpark.
There was not many occasions that I've been. I mean, I've been to Hyde Park, but
Danny's not parking in the C lot, Father.
Come on,
C lot.
Come on.
You couldn't get me out of bed for the C lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Media parking right next to the stadium. Thank you very much. You got a rooting interest point that you want to get to coming up? Because we got no NBA tonight. We're baseball and we need some hockey in our
life. I'm stunned to learn there isn't a Western or Eastern Conference NBA game until Friday night.
It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And it's,
or is it Saturday?
No, Saturday. There's not.
They're not playing tomorrow night either.
There's not an NBA game until Saturday. It's ridiculous. And I know that Friday's not a good night for TV, and they wanted to do the travel day. But, yeah, so the Cavs-Celtics series had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off before Game 3. It's ridiculous.
You know, Danny, while the NFL deserves a lot of criticism for a lot of things, they don't make mistakes like this very often. Marketing-wise, they're pretty tight.
Yeah, I mean, next week for the latter round, like the latter part of this round, there's a game every day. And I get not wanting to do a game on Friday night, but then do it Thursday. There should be an NBA game tonight. TNT has games every Thursday during the regular season. Like, NBA fans are conditioned to watch games on Thursday nights, and there's no game. I'm with you. It's ridiculous. They could have started the Western Conference one day later to have a game be tonight. It's ridiculous. We'll get into that coming up. And Brent Musburger at 3, Shep v. The Grobber at 4 on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Theo Epstein when he was on with Dan and Connor. Everyone is extrapolating that out to what it would mean for a pursuit of Manny Machado. The audio brought to you by Casper Sleep. With a 100-night risk-free trial, you can discover how Casper has become the internet's favorite mattress. Go to Casper.com today. John Paxson will join us at 3:15. It's a weird place that Cubs fans find themselves in where we have an expectation, almost bordering on an entitlement, that either Manny Machado or Bryce Harper will be a Cub.
And then the team also re-signs Chris Bryant and has $300 million tied into two players, maybe much more than that.
Yep. It's a weird place to be. And I...
$80 million a year for two guys, potentially.
Yep. And I understand why it sounds ridiculous.
Well, we earned it. Right? Yeah. Is that how you feel, you entitled Cub fan, you?
Am I wrong?
They're printing money. You can't help but note when you walk through the park, when you walk around the park, if you bet, oh my God, they are printing money.
And it's only going to go up.
Yeah.
They're about to own their own network starting after next year. Like, they're going to own everything. So it'll be a revenue stream for them, not only for their games, but for any other programming that they put on that network. So, and all the local stations and providers will want to pick it up. Like, it's going to be massive. So they can afford it.
For those of you Cubs fans who might not be old enough to go back to the tortures of the 0-3 collapse in the NLCS or the 99 disappointment, 89, 84, pick a year when the Cubs didn't get it done. And you have been enjoying this, what you've had since Epstein took over. Recognize the special time in which you're jumping on the train. Because this is, and by miles and miles and miles, the golden era of Cubs baseball. I hope you recognize just how special what's going on is.
I think I do. I mean, I remember vividly in 2003 feeling like this is an incredible team. And still not believing that there was any chance of it being a dynasty. Like not thinking that that was a sustained thing that could last for years and years. Whether it was because of where Sosa was or injury questions with arms and all sorts of stuff. It was like a team was great, and I was as disappointed as I've ever been in a team after the 2004 season. I still had high hopes for them like everybody. But I didn't think with Tribune Company and the money and the past history – I did not think that there was ever a time when I would see a dynasty of Cubs baseball.
Even after back-to-back playoff appearances, 07, 08?
I mean, there was so much disappointment. And the money thing was still a concern about how much money could they spend and generate. Like, you know, the Soriano contract was obviously something, but it wasn't the same thing. It did not feel like we're set up
to
be a dynasty.
Their stars of 08 were starting to be at that point of, like, at the end of 08 when they got swept by the Dodgers, you're like, if it didn't happen then, it's probably not happened with Aramis and Derek Lee and the rest of the Soriano at that point, who was 31 or 32 at that time.
Yeah, so I think I appreciate it and acknowledge it. I certainly try to, because there's nothing that they can't do in the sport. They could win every year, and they can sign every player. That's pretty awesome.
Life is good.
Yeah, it's not bad. McNeil and Parkins on the score, 30 minutes from Brent Musburger, 45 from John Paxson. Looking forward to talking to Pax.
Yeah, so am I. It's been a while. And then during the 4 o'clock hour, big grudge match in studio. We don't know if it's going to go the full 15 rounds. Our executive producer, Nick Shepkowski, versus Les Grobstein, the venerable overnight host here at The Score.
Yeah, I have no idea how it's going to go, period. You said you and Terry used to do Sports Jeopardy way back in the day?
Yes, we did once upon a time. It's really good when you have good contestants, and it's painful radio when you don't. And, it's very difficult to qualify contestants in a 4 or 5 minute phone conversation producers have with would-be contestants.
Oh, you did it with just callers?
Yes.
Oh.
We had some celebrity matches as well.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I like the ability to vet your contestant. I can't imagine, you know.
I think Eddie Olczyk battled Darren Pang in Sports Jeopardy one day. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Darren Pang, the former Hawks goalie,
NBC
broadcaster. Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Made a mark.
Yeah. I was surprised neither of them did as well in the category Slapshot.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting a lot.
Yeah, you know, hockey people not loving Slapshot.
Yeah, but Eddie's always quoting Slapshot. Yeah. Eddie lives in a Slapshot world. If I had a dollar for every Slapshot quote he's texted me, I could pay for that Shellfish Tower.
But knowing you, it is probably like the most obscure Slapshot thing.
No, I wouldn't. You know, they're point values. The 100 ones should, 100 points should be easy. 200, you know, relatively easy. They went out, so they were pretty simple, actually. Now, the 500 ones, you got to earn those.
Texter writes in, Parkins is going to get Cubs fans hurt at Sox Park. You really think nothing is going to happen if Cubs fans are waving a Cubs logo on the south side? I don't think anyone would get hurt.
No, I don't think anyone would either. I don't think anybody would care. I would hope nobody would care.
Yeah. Silly harmless fun.
How many people are you expecting for a Orioles-White Sox game on a Tuesday night?
I don't know. Not many. But I mean,
people to tick off.
I think if we brought 10 people to hold up a sign that was the length of 10 people long, and it was Chicago wants Machado, and all of the C's were Cubs logos.
Oh, that's very clever on your part.
And everybody was wearing a Cubs hat to make the intention clear. I think there's some legs behind that idea.
Get fake Machado Cubs jerseys made up.
Now it's getting to be a little bit more of an expensive idea.
We don't have to pay for them. Somebody out there has got to have a jersey shop or something.
That can make Cubs personalized Machado jerseys.
T-shirt jerseys.
For Monday's game. It's not bad.
Somebody's out there.
Send a bunch of food to his hotel. That's an idea.
That's not a bad idea. Because
he's not going to have it. He's going to share it with coaches and things. He's going to be a big shot. He's going to tell everybody, yeah, I got a lot of friends in Chicago. Look at all this food they sent me. And he could share it with, you know, some of his teammates, guys who aren't going to be earning the type of Trump he's going to make.
That's true. That's not a bad idea. We know anyone who can make the sign? I'm not very artistic. I need a sign.
I have a son who's autistic. I'll ask him if he can help.
Okay. Thank you. Well, you do that.
He's very good at doing repetitive straight lines.
All right. Painting inside the numbers. Thank you for dropping that in, Mac.
You hear what the autistic 21-year-old said to the piano player?
No.
Do it again.
Hey, I ran into O.J. Simpson the other night. How about that?
See, I can say that because I have an autistic. Yeah, right?
Is that how that works?
Is that how it works? Sure.
So, am I allowed to laugh?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I wasn't sure how it works.
Laughter is the best medicine, my friend.
All right, Brent Musburger at 3 coming up. Max rooting interest that he's going to pass off to us. And I think it makes some sense. It's coming up. McNeil and Parkins on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, McNeil and Parkins on the score. Our interview hour coming up. Brent Musburger at 3, John Paxson at 3:15, and Jason Stark at 3:40. Shep V. the Grobber for the 4 o'clock hour in sports trivia. But Mac, if I need rooting interest in some Stanley Cup playoff hockey, how would you? Where should I root? Where should I not?
Well, I'll tell you where I'm not rooting. And if people are watching the postseason, they have seen this club perform at a very high level. The expansion Las Vegas Golden Knights have had a tremendous run. Winners again last night. They lead their series against Winnipeg 2-1. There are things to like about the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Their goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury, has had a terrific year. And I like their head coach, Gerard Gallant. He used to be a role player with the Red Wings. And in the old Chicago Stadium, when players didn't dress, healthy, scratch, or injured, they would sit in the old small press box with members of media. And I often was there. And Gerard Gallant and I had one magical night together. Had a great guy, real fun guy. And I like him. But I don't want them to be anywhere near the Stanley Cup because of the newness of the franchise. When my team isn't in, often I look to which fan base would I most like to see get his mitts on a trophy.
Sure.
And in the case of the Stanley Cup, of the four finalists, it is by a mile that I root for the Washington Capitals, who were born in 74-75, have only been to the final once and lost to Detroit 20 years ago. They've been too good for too long to not have an opportunity to win the cup. So that's who I'm rooting for.
See, I would think it would be cool to see an expansion franchise win the Stanley Cup. It's never happened in pro sports, right? Like there's never been an expansion team that's won the World Series.
Expansion teams usually aren't playoff teams.
That's what I'm saying.
In football, I think Dom Capers was given the Coach of the Year award in the expansion year of the Carolina Panthers, because they finished maybe 500 or 7-9. And it was remarkable. People said, my God, it's Spanish. So that's what people think of expansion teams. They're supposed to be doormats. Well, they're not. They could be going to the final.
I remember when the Panthers and the Jaguars both made it to the conference championship game in their second years in the league. They were in the AFC title game and the NFC title game at the same time, but it was in their second year. And I was like, that's a pretty crazy thing. But I see what you're saying, but some of me like enjoys rooting for the storyline to continue. So I have no rooting interest in hockey really outside of the Hawks. But if the Capitals have failed so many times without being able to get through, there's something to like the enjoyment of whether it's the curse franchise or the misery or the heartbreak and all of that. It's like a masochist in me that enjoys seeing the pain and the heartbreak.
Because until 2016, you experienced it in your 31 years on this planet as a Cubs fan. Yeah. At the time, 29 before they won.
That's right. It's been very tough for me, Mac. It was a long, hard life that I've lived.
That's what I'd like to call them the Cubs on skates, but that's an insult to the Cubs who went 108 years of suffering between titles.
Yeah, but in general, I also like I would just say my rooting interest in sports often is for the biggest story, right? If you don't have a fan interest and you're not gambling on it, like I go for fandom, money, and then just the best story. It's why I root for dynasties. Like, I was one of the people who was not happy that the Giants beat the Patriots when they were 18-0. I thought it would have been cool to see a team go 19-0 and win the Super Bowl. I would think that the Vegas first year with a team, first time having pro sports, winning a title in the first year, and the fan base looks ridiculous. Whenever I have watched them on TV, the fan base is really into it, a tremendous home ice advantage.
I wonder how many people actually are from Las Vegas who go to their games, though. I would have to think they get a lot of people who are in Vegas for a week, weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they did well with season tickets. When it launched, Daniel Negreanu, big poker player, was a big part of bringing it there because he's Canadian and he loves hockey. And I follow him on Twitter and I'm a big fan of his work in the poker community. And so I know that he did a lot for raising awareness in Vegas and selling season tickets and all of that. And whenever I watch, everyone's wearing
those awful sweaters they have.
Yeah.
Oh, those things awful, too. They are just ugly. They're not telegenic in any way. Well, here's a story for the Capitals. You have Alex Ovechkin, one of the great offensive players in, some would argue, the league's history, certainly in this century, he's been among the best and has yet to embrace the cup. So you would have a great player, and we remember when Marian Hossa was chasing that first ring, missed it with Pittsburgh, missed it with Detroit, got it here three times. So you have a great player trying to win his first championship. And there's a good story on the Lightning, too. Chris Kunitz, who I love as a player. He doesn't get his name on the score sheet, but he gets his name in the penalties marks. He's 38 years old. He's trying to win a cup on his third different team. He's won it with Pittsburgh and I think Anaheim. And he still plays like he's 28, not 38. He's a fire plug. I love watching him play.
So what would be the best hockey matchup? Like in terms of if I'm going to – I tune in for the Stanley Cup Finals every year.
It's tough not to say Washington and Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Well, because both of them are leading their series 2-1 right now.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know, like, stylistically.
And I think Washington as well. And Tyler Johnson's a very exciting player, too, from Tampa. Little guy. 5'9", 160 pounds. Nobody thought anything of him coming out of the Pacific Northwest because he was so tiny.
Huh. All right. Well, I'll be in once the Stanley Cup Finals start. That's when I'll get there. And I love the city of Vegas. It's the one of those cities that I have the most connection to. And I will root for history. Like, that's just how I tend to do it in sports. So if I had to pick a rooting interest, unless you tell me that we have something for the show pod on it, yeah.
We've not prospered when we've made hockey plays with the show pod. In fact, we've gotten our ears boxed for playing hockey games thus far.
I didn't even know that we had made hockey bets.
Yeah, you do.
Oh,
had no say-so in it.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't. I mean, that's strictly you and Tanny. That's where we go with our hockey money. So
Tanny's hockey analysis was missed earlier this week in his short stay in Pittsburgh. Him and two other big men in a Honda Civic going to Pittsburgh and back. I bet that car smelled wonderful when it got back home.
We struggled to fill the 5 hours without hockey Tanny Melrose on the show. It was tough. Wait, RC Food Tower is here? Is that accurate?
That's right.
Okay. Well, we'll step aside. We'll come back. Brent Musburger at 3 o'clock. The Seafood Tower's here, Mac. We got it. Go.
I'm looking forward to the tower. I was going to wear my new golf shirt from Loudmouth, but I didn't want to get butter on a brand new $70 golf garment, so I wore my trashy 2003 wear.
You normally do wear a collar still around the radio station.
Usually.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I get anything for that?
I remember back in the day when I would intern for you, you were a stickler for dressing well. Is that accurate?
Maybe a little bit.
I think so. I'm just saying. It's a relaxed atmosphere. I look up to you. You're wearing khakis, collared shirt. You're a very professional looking man. So get some lobster butter.
Trying to fool them.
That's exactly right. It's McNeil and Parker's on the score. It's an all-timer. And you want to see how many I could fit in my mouth? Any of those jumbo shrimp?
I bet you can't get more than four in there, because those are tiger prawns.
This is good stuff. The jumbo tiger shrimp, bigger than anyone else's shrimp in the city, thanks to David at Chicago Cut.
Yeah, Chicago Cut is a fantastic restaurant. If you haven't had the chance to go there yet, you are missing out on what might be the finest steakhouse in the city. And what I love about the shellfish that we have, and it's a great day for gout people here at the radio station. And I've had it one time, and shellfish, that can cause problems. The Alaskan king crabs are reds. I wouldn't get out of bed for any crab leg that isn't an Alaskan red. And these are Alaskan reds. This is the real thing here.
Call me father. Okay. Only the reds, you know, for Dan McNeil.
You go to some restaurants and they have this all-you-can-eat crab, and you wind up spending the whole night cracking legs and getting your fingers all cut up.
You're burning calories doing too much work.
Yeah, by the time you get to it, it's icy. Well, no, not with Kings. Not with Red Kings from Alaska.
My wife and I went to Chicago Cut. We've only been one time. It is probably the single best meal that I've had since moving back to Chicago. It's remarkable. It's been too long since I've been there. Of course, Chicago Cut located at 300 North LaSalle. Thanks again to David for dropping off the seafood tower, because when we went out as a show, you had promised all of us
a shellfish tower, and I obviously didn't get us to a classy enough joint. And you guys have been, you know, playfully chiding me since I promised the seafood tower.
Yeah.
So I had to make good on it this week. I had to make sure it was going to happen, and David Flom over at Cut made it happen for us. Shellfish abounds.
Have you tried the lobster tails yet?
Yes, I have.
Well, I'm told the Tristan lobster tail comes from the deepest spot for lobsters to grow in the world, hence the super cold water.
Yep.
Wow.
Cold water lobster's the best.
Okay. More, I'm learning so much. This is pretty spectacular stuff.
And did you know with shrimp, unlike fish, many species of fish are more flavorful when the fish is caught much younger and it's a much smaller piece of meat. With shrimp, the larger the prawn, the more flavorful.
I prefer the jumbo shrimp.
Yeah.
I know everything there is to know about shrimp.
Take that shrimp ring someone brings to your house when you're having a football get together and take it to the homeless shelter. Is that what you do?
Yeah, only. That's the more you know and the more you learn.
Oh, that was discussion from earlier today we had. And Bernsey, I thought it was an invertebrate, and he confirmed it, yeah, because it's got an Esca something skeleton.
I learn so much listening to that show every day. What I want to know, what I don't want to know, I learn it all.
That's what I get asking Bernstein a question that requires smarts. He just pantsed me with that. Of course it is, you dummy. It's got this type of skeleton. Okay, all right.
Yeah, checkmate.
He got me.
He knows. Our interview hour coming up. We've got Brent Musburger and then John Paxson and then Jason Stark into our trivia contest, because Shep thinks that he will beat the grobber at sports trivia. That's the 4 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.